This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Brand Now, How to Stand Out in a Crowded, Distracted World. Many former On Brand guests are already raving about Brand Now. Jay Baer calls it the quintessential guide to modern branding. Stacey Grissom of BarkBox says Brand Now provides practical tools and a helpful framework for building a brand both online and off. Learn more, get special extras and additional resources at brandnowbook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Kathy Hackle. Kathy is lead futurist at You Are Here Immersive Labs, one of the Southeast's most prominent XR labs. Hackle is an Emmy-nominated communicator turned augmented reality and virtual reality global speaker, producer, and author. She is also a partner at Mixed Reality Ventures. Prior to joining You Are Here, she worked as an HTC Vive VR evangelist during the launch of their latest headset, the Vive Pro, and during the company's partnership with Warner Brothers' blockbuster Ready Player One. She's the co-author of Marketing New Realities, an introduction to VR and AR marketing, branding, and communications. Hackle has been featured in media outlets like Mike, CNN, Silicon Beat, Entrepreneur, CMO.com, Forbes, VentureBeat, and Mashable. She is a global advisor for the VR-AR Association and a leading voice in the VR-AR marketing and enterprise space. Before working in AR and VR, Hackle worked as a journalist for CNN, Discovery Communications, and ABC News. Kathy, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, we were talking earlier about getting a pronunciation check, which I always like to do, and your name is wonderfully simple to pronounce, as it turns out. I feel like the hidden challenge in your bio is not pronouncing your last name, but rather the various combinations of VR, AR, and AR and VR. And but I think I got them mostly correct, or if not, I just kept talking and hopefully no one noticed.
I think you did a great job, and there's an XR sprinkled in there, which is
right.
Kind of an industry term that's an all-encompassing industry term for VR, AR, MR, everything. So
that's all of the R's.
Yeah, any current realities, any potential new realities. So yeah, it's XR is kind of an overarching term in the industry for whatever comes our way.
I did not know that. And speaking of not knowing that, it would probably be worth it on the off chance there's someone listening that isn't following all of the VR, AR talk. VR is virtual reality. AR is
augmented reality.
Augmented reality.
Yeah.
And are there any others in there? Well, I suppose you'd have mixed, right?
There's mixed reality as well, and extended reality, which is XR as well. So, and then there's also, you're going to be hearing people also refer to spatial computing that is related to XR as well. But do you want to maybe do some of the definitions?
Sure.
Think maybe some of your listeners? I've actually found a few ways to explain them very in a very simple way for anyone to understand.
Cool.
So virtual reality is fully immersive, but the way I define it to make it easy is virtual reality creates new worlds, right? So you usually get into virtual reality using a headset. So an Oculus Go or an Oculus Rift or an HTC Vive, you put on the headset and you're completely transported into a new world that could be a digital space or it could be a 360 video. And, you know, depending on the level of immersion, you're able to interact with that environment. So VR creates new worlds. So simple enough?
Yes.
Okay, great. And then augmented reality adds to your world. And what I mean by that is that pretty much with augmented reality, we're adding a digital layer. Let's say so we're adding digital elements into our reality. So easiest example to explain is, for example, Pokemon Go. When people would pull up their phones, open the app, and there would be a Pikachu standing right in front of them. Pikachu is obviously not there, but it's a digital element that's added into their world. Snapchat, the same thing. You pull up your phone, you access a lens, and all of a sudden, you know, you have a bunny face. Same thing. You're adding a digital element to your world. So AR adds to your world. And then mixed reality, it depends who you ask. You know, brands like Microsoft are using the term mixed reality. Magic Leap as well, which is a company in Florida, is using the term mixed reality. The way I define mixed reality is when kind of virtual reality and augmented reality collide in some way, and when you're actually able to interact with those digital elements in the real world. So that digital element, whether it's Pikachu or, you know, whether it's an avatar of someone, kind of is able to map the space and interact with you in a very different way, and you're able to interact with them.
So are you wearing an opaque headset in that scenario, or is that something that is...
That's a great question. It's kind of, it's interesting because Microsoft does use mixed reality for their VR headsets.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, true mixed reality is kind of the next iteration beyond augmented reality. When you're able to wear, mixed reality glasses or a headset, and you're able to interact with these elements. So not so much, it's a little bit further away from virtual reality and closer to augmented reality.
Okay. So then we are, are we up to extended?
We're up to extended reality, yes. XR. Extended reality is pretty much the melding of all, you know, VR, AR, MR, and any future realities that might come our way. It's really a term that's picked up a lot of steam within the VR, AR industry. I've been a part of the industry for almost 3 years now. So you're probably, you know, I think many people in the marketing industry have not necessarily heard the term XR, but it is being used quite a bit within the immersive industry. So, for example, Accenture's department that handles and creates immersive content is actually calling it extended reality. So there's different companies that are using the term XR.
Cool. So with all of these definitions in mind, and I should point out, I believe that you are the first one from this space to join us here on the On Brand podcast. And I'm fascinated by, I have not read your book, but I'm fascinated by the title because I feel like this has amazing potential for brands. But for those that might be wondering, what is the connective tissue that helps us create these new marketing realities?
Definitely. So it's technology based, but it's also content. So one of the biggest things when I talk to marketers is that I want them to start changing their mindset, because the way I explain is content, as we understand it, is expanding or shifting. We are moving away in some way from content that is 2D and flat to content that is 3D, 360, augmented, and sometimes holographic. And you're starting to see that, for example, if any of the marketers listening to the podcast look at Facebook's, timeline or roadmap for the future, they'll see that, you know, 5-10 years down the line, AR, VR, AI are going to be big parts of where they're going to be as a company. So if you think of any of the mobile companies, whether it's, you know, Apple or you name them, you know, they're all investing heavily in what comes after mobile. And what comes after mobile are augmented reality glasses, well, mixed reality glasses, let's say, in headsets that are going to allow us to interact with content and with technology in our surroundings, which is spatial mapping in some way.
So what are there brands today that are already experimenting? Are we before the key inflection point here?
I think we're just starting in some ways. I think, you know, there are brands that are investing heavily in these technologies. I'm actually quite honored to be helping with Mixed Reality Marketing Summit, which is the first marketing event purely focused on brands and companies and marketers that are using these technologies. So, you know, Adobe is investing heavily on, you know, in augmented reality and how we're going to create content. You've got Coca-Cola as well that's done some amazing augmented reality campaigns. Not sure if you were keeping tabs on Comic-Con, but the biggest activation at Comic-Con this year was a Jack Ryan activation with virtual reality done by Amazon. And it was like super huge lines. It was really one of the biggest headlines that you could see coming out of Comic-Con. So it's this kind of using these immersive technologies to tell stories in new and different ways. And what brand wouldn't want that? What brand doesn't want to be able to kind of take their storytelling to a different level?
I was definitely keeping track of Comic-Con, being a huge nerd, but trapped in Iowa. I was watching from afar, but it does seem like that's a trend as well. From your bio, I should point out probably our closest connection prior to this was I was someone that kept trying to get into the Ready Player One activation at South by Southwest, but I could never make it fit into my schedule. I even got into the line, but it was like the Jack Ryan feature, so popular, so busy that it was a hard line to get into.
Definitely. I mean, I think people are attracted to the technology. You know, I think millennials, Gen Z, and the generation that comes after Gen Z are very open to these technologies. So I think you're going to see more and more brands start to invest heavily and start allocating more and more marketing dollars to, you know, immersive technologies.
Does it seem like our conversation about how content is shifting is interesting? Because I also think all of us more traditional business squares are new to this idea of content and the label of content, even though we've created things that have been content before. But whereas you look at the entertainment business, and sometimes I hate the content word because it's a little vacuous. But are the dots easier to connect on the entertainment side of things because their content is so, I don't want to use the word immersive because that means something different when you have the tech implications, but when you are watching something, you are mentally transported somewhere else. That's part of the magic of it. But when you combine that with tech that can actually take you somewhere and can create a true capital I immersive experience, that's pretty powerful.
It is. And I've had the chance to work in cinematic VR with Sony Pictures and Oculus, and it's been really, really interesting. And I think a lot of people always tend to think about VR and AR as it pertains to entertainment, sports, entertainment and sports. And I think those are very valid use cases because they're easy to understand. But I also see that there's, and I'm currently working on this, huge applications, especially for augmented reality, when it comes to the enterprise side, when it comes to training, in how we are able to train the workers of tomorrow. And what I mean by this is, for example, with augmented reality and even virtual reality, you're able to retain the information that an older worker has within the company because you're able to kind of, create 3D models of different items that they know how to repair and be able to walk a younger worker through that repair through, you know, a Microsoft HoloLens, which, you know, the younger worker would put the headset on, go and try to repair that, and he would have access to that older worker, and that worker would kind of help them through that. You're also able to kind of keep this content in, like, keep an information library of sorts, a visual information library, right, of these types of training. And, you know, I'm seeing it. I was able to advise UPS as a VR, a virtual reality expert, prior to their the launch of their VR driver training program. And it's so powerful because you can put on a headset, practice driving down the road 100 times. So when you're on the road, your brain, you know, your brain actually believes what it practiced, and you're able to in some way, shape, or form reduce human error. So it's extremely powerful technology.
Well, I love the point about workforce and training, because I think that, that once you do, and I'm sure there's people that were listening that, you know, had the light bulbs go off there. I have seen some VR applications that have been related to medical training and some of these things where using live subjects but to do operations, dissections, things like that, where you're able to replicate that experience in I guess that would be AR probably.
And there's both. I mean, there's surgery training programs in virtual reality where people can go in and practice. There's also some in mixed reality. So there's different use cases in that sense. But what I think is extremely powerful is that for me, these technologies are important because at the end of the day, if they provide utility, if they provide real utility to us and really make our lives better, then that's the power. You know, I love watching entertainment in VR, but at the end of the day, if it provides what I call utility and context, I think it's extremely powerful.
So what are some of the other examples of applications that do provide some of that utility and context?
Well, you know, we're moving toward, for example, being able – well, let me give you an example. So one of the projects that the company I work with worked on was with Porsche. We were the ones that kind of introduced – that kind of got Porsche started with augmented reality. So we created a an augmented reality Porsche that, you know, someone that's a high earner that wants to create a custom Porsche could design using augmented reality and save a lot of time. Because normally when you're trying to buy one of these cars that is custom made, the person has to come into the headquarters and spend, or the dealer, and spend maybe 1 or 2 days choosing everything from the leather to this color to the rim, to, like, all these things that go into getting a custom Porsche, right? So through the augmented reality, we were to create an experience that sped up the process and actually allow them to design that Porsche even before setting foot in the dealer. So they already kind of knew what they wanted. So, you know, not everyone's going to buy a Porsche, but this is something that's going to roll out to a lot of different consumers, and you're going to be able to kind of design your, you know, your F-150 or whatever car it is that you want. And you're going to be able to kind of test it and see how it's going to look in my driveway. Furniture is a great use case. IKEA, you know, Wayfair use augmented reality for you to be able to actually place furniture in your house, walk around it in augmented reality, right? And be able to see if it fits. If it, you know, if you can measure the space, how is it going to look? Is it fit? Is it going to fit? Is it the right height? So, you know, those things I think are very practical and useful.
Well, and all of a sudden we've connected the dots back to a utility, like you said, because if you look at the previous generation of tech, you know, when automotive manufacturers and dealerships first started the building a car feature on a website, there's an incredibly high conversion rate when someone does something like that. And of course, you know, wanting to provide a more exclusive experience on the Porsche side of things, you know, you'd send people into a dealership, but that, you know, isn't incredibly scalable. So you can move more people up to that exclusive level, have them building things that I would assume are going to convert at a higher level.
It is proven already that augmented reality is converting at a very high level. So this is a really interesting conversation that we're getting into, because it's what I call the evolution of e-commerce, where we're shifting, we're in some way evolving, let's say, from e-commerce to v-commerce, lowercase v, so virtual commerce, where you're actually able to engage with this content in a different way. So you might have seen, for example, on your Facebook feed, 3D posts. So it's an actual 3D scan of an element, like whether it's a purse or a Lego or whatever, and you're actually able to kind of move it around and play around with it. So you get a better view of what this purse looks like instead of a flat image, right? And eventually, this is going to move further into augmented reality. We're actually able to test, you know, like try that on to your avatar or to yourself. So I'll give you an example. For example, build.com has already seen, I think it's, they've got a ridiculous number. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's like more than 10x when they have augmented reality scans, 3D scans of products that they're selling. They sell at a higher rate. They convert at a higher rate than products that don't have that element.
Well, and we're getting into glossary territory here with the addition of v-commerce.
Of v-commerce, yeah. But, someone called it x-commerce the other day. I was like, oh my goodness, we don't need another term.
Oh, but hey. Yeah. So is x-commerce just v-commerce, or is it all of the digital commerce?
I don't even know. I just saw that this week and I was like, oh, I don't need another term. So no. I think everyone listening to this podcast can play like alphabet soup or something. There's so many words. So,
I think that sometimes where we're going with this conversation specifically, I think grounds it pretty solidly. Mm-hmm. When you talk about, I mean, I think there are some educational companies, you know, many have, you know, point quickly to Magic Leap, and you see the website with the big whale doing a flip in a gym, and that looks like an interesting educational application. But many are wondering, so what does this actually mean for my business? And these examples are pretty strong. Mm-hmm. And you talked about conversion, and I have to think there has to be a correlation there with, it seems like every time we add some sort of sense to, of all the different senses to mm-hmm. what we're able to share with our audience, we increase that likelihood of conversion. And I would think with something as immersive as this, where we are recreating or a world, or we are enriching a world, that is an incredible experience, and people respond to that.
They do. I mean, I find that, for example, whether it's augmented reality or virtual reality, if the person is experiencing a brand in a totally different way, they tend to stick with that, you know, with that experience a little bit longer. So I think I believe the average person spends about 9 minutes in virtual reality when they're at an activation or an experience. I mean, that is huge for a marketer to say, I have the undivided attention, especially in virtual reality, of someone for 9 minutes. That's extremely powerful nowadays. You know, what is our attention span is smaller than shorter than a goldfish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think about that, this is a totally new level of communicating a brand and experiencing a brand. And to your point, and going a little bit further out, because I am a futurist at heart, going a little bit further out, for example, I get to work and talk to a lot of stealth startups. And it's extremely – one of the things that has impacted me the most is when I was able to feel a hologram. I was able to feel a hologram with my hands. And I was not wearing a glove. I was not wearing anything, any hardware on my hand to have any haptic feedback. But I was able to feel a hologram. And that to me is, wow, it was mind-blowing that I was actually able to do that. Because what does that mean in the future when I'm going to buy, you know, clothes? When I'm going to buy, you know, any type of thing that is a tactile thing that I need to feel before I buy? Right. So extremely powerful for the future.
Very. So – speaking of the future, there we have business brand builders at all levels here. what, as they're listening to this and thinking about the potential, and they see that the episode is almost over, and they're thinking, what should I be on the lookout for? If they're not in this world all the time as you are, what should businesses be watching for to mm-hmm. be ready for these shifts?
So I would have three pieces of advice. I would say start playing around. If you're interested in this type of content, start playing around with like the free tools that are out there. So for example, Snapchat has Snapchat Lens Studio, where you can actually start creating augmented reality filters in lenses. And it's free. Anyone can download it, and you don't need to know how to code to do it. So that's a free resource. Facebook's AR Studio as well. It's a little bit harder to work on, but these are all free resources that are available to anyone. So start looking at that. I would say also, obviously if you're interested, there's many resources. My book is a good primer, I would say, for people that are new to the industry, that are interested in figuring out what is this and why should I care? So definitely that. And then the other thing I think is stay, kind of keep your eye on what Apple is doing. Because I think that, all of us marketers, iPhone, we all live on our phones. It's a very mobile driven world. And, the next couple of years, they're going to bring to market something that is going to be mixed reality or augmented reality. And that'll set a big, that'll be kind of like one of those things where a big signal, I think, for any type of marketer to be like, wow, mobile was huge when it came out. This is going to be huge as well. So.
Absolutely. And I think especially now that we've seen that, and mobile's a great parallel, that mm-hmm. that is kind of probably the exact question. How can I be as ready for this if people were caught off guard by mobile?
And I also think it's a great opportunity for marketers that are, tech innovators that are interested in this technology. Now is a good time to be part of this industry. I call ourselves the magicians of the 21st century because we're creating that wow element. And it's a great time to become part of this industry because we're just getting started.
That is awesome. Well, just getting started, and sadly, we are just wrapping up. Kathy, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
Has nothing to do with technology. It's a brand called Casper that makes pillows.
Yeah.
So I love their pillows, and I went to Target, and I saw that they were selling it there, and I was just so excited to see them in the store, see their signage and stuff in the store, and I tweeted at them, and they just gave me such a cute response, and I was just kind of like, this is great. I love the interaction, and, I love their pillows, but I love the interaction I had with them on social. So definitely made me smile.
Awesome, and great story of those social interactions. Kathy, where can folks go to find out more about who you are and what you do?
Sure, they can go to kathyhackle.com. So CathyHackl.com. And, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always open to connecting with anyone there. And yeah, just follow me on Twitter as well. So.
Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Kathy, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Thank you.
And a reminder that if you like something on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. On Brand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping complex organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth. More, including the links we discussed, at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.